Hello and welcome to the France 24 interview. Our guest is Rafael Grossi. He is the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, and he's with us from the headquarters of the UN agency in Vienna. Thank you very much.
Hello, good to talk to you. Thank you.
A couple of days ago, you went to Zaporizhzhia. Zaporizhzhia is the largest nuclear plant in Europe. It's obviously located in Ukraine, very close to where the fighting is raging. And you went there a few days after the destruction of the nearby Kharkovka Dam, whose water is used to cool the reactors of the nuclear plant. Are you satisfied that the situation is now under control, or are you worried that what happened to the dam could still have dire consequences for the nuclear plant?
Bit of both, I would say. On the one hand, when I visited, I could see that the first initial measures were taken by the management of the plant to preserve the amount of water which is already contained in a cooling pond in the adjacency of the plant. But it is obvious that this will not be enough in the medium and long term to continue with this. So alternative measures, additional measures, mitigation measures will have to be adopted and taken. And this was what I was discussing there. So like everything else with regards to Zaporizhzhia, it's a day-to-day thing. In this regard, this was an unexpected, although not entirely unsurprising thing, because we were considering that the dam could be a military target and what would happen in that regard. So we had some evaluations of that. But of course, we were hoping that that would not happen. Well, of course, it did. So we have this additional layer, if you want, of concern over a situation which is in and by itself extremely volatile, because, as you know, this plant is sitting on the front line, not near the front line, in the vicinity of the front line, a few kilometers from the front line, is on the front line. So it is obvious that in the context of the ongoing counteroffensive and the military activities there and the combats there, the plant is incredibly fragile and open to damage in case of an exchange of fire there.
Right. The plant has been controlled by the Russians. The Russians are saying the danger is not us. It's the Ukrainians that are targeting the plant or Russian targets near the plant. Is this also what you're seeing, that Ukraine is hitting the plant?
Well, you know, from someone said that, in a war, the truth is the first victim. Without attributing truth or lack thereof, I would say that there is it's a conflicting narrative from the very beginning. This is why it is so important that the IAEA is there and our people are there. And we have seen on one side or the other side information, allegations, assertions from the top levels to middle levels to journalists. And we are not, of course, not guided by those. The objective reality is that this is a very, very volatile situation, and we are there to, if possible, prevent an accident and inform about what is happening. We do not have the technical elements to determine or ascertain at each occasion where the danger is coming from. We can have ideas, we can have speculation about it, but I rather not get into that. You know, worrying about the accident, trying to prevent the accident is enough for us without getting into a process of attributing guilt for the actions. What I've said at the Security Council is no shooting, whoever does it, no shooting at the nuclear power plant, no militarization of the nuclear power plant and shooting from the nuclear power plant. This is clear. It applies to everybody.
Right. Well, what the top level in Ukraine is saying, Volodymyr Zelensky a few days ago, said that according to his intelligence, Russia has made all the preparation for an attack on the plant, not an accident, an attack. His chief of military intelligence said that preparations are being done. Russian troops have moved vehicles charged with explosives into the plant. They've mined the cooling pond. You have a team on the ground. Is this what they're witnessing?
Well, I would never, you know, enter into an argument with the president of Ukraine, whom I know very, very well and with whom I've been in contact regularly and meeting with him personally. What I can say is I was there. I did not see this kind of development. Our teams are there and they are reporting every day what's happening. I'm not privy to this intelligence report that you are referring to.
Right. So you don't think that there will be a Russian attack on the plant? It's not what you're seeing.
What I'm saying is that we don't see what you just said. In terms of the future, I wouldn't be so, you know, adventurous into getting to, you know, what is going to happen or not happen there. I think anything can happen. This is what worries me.
Right. I want to turn quickly to Iran. In your latest report, you said that its stockpile of enriched uranium has increased by more than a quarter in the last 3 months. 3 months ago, you went to Tehran. You reached an agreement with the top-level authorities to some new verification control measures. Obviously, this is not working. It's a failure, this agreement.
I would say I would not agree with your such a stern judgment in the sense that it is not working. I don't think it's working at the level and at the pace I would like to see it working. What we agreed, so that the audience is aware, what we agreed is that Iran would be collaborating with the agency, limiting some activities, allowing us to add more verification monitoring capacities. We have been able to do some of that, not all of that. And you are absolutely on the spot. Iran is continuing its enrichment activities. And of course, this is raising concerns. So this is why we are telling our Iranian counterparts that the only way for them to get some confidence internationally is to help and to contribute and to work together with us. Without that, it will not be possible, whatever they say and whatever they affirm.
Right. I mean, the 2015 JCPOA agreement essentially fell through a few months ago. However, we're learning that there are negotiations between the Biden administration and Iran to try to find an informal agreement. Iran would halt the enrichment, the U.S. would lift some sanction. This would be a kind of informal, unwritten agreement. Are you aware of that? And more importantly, are you in favor of such a deal?
Well, I'm aware of this. Of course, bilateral contacts between Iran and, in this case, the United States or any other country aiming at providing some form of de-escalation or limitation in and by themselves are not bad. What I always say, you know, not surprising from me, would be that this should be verifiable. And we should be able to verify that. So I would be keen on getting more details about that, if there is any such agreement. So the types of agreements that may exist is, of course, in the political decision of the countries. You were referring to JCPOA. It's true, JCPOA is in a very bad shape at the moment. It is an empty shell, basically. Nobody has declared it dead, but there's no diplomatic activity around it. The IAEA continues to be there. So I hope that if there is any alternative agreement or any kind of agreement of any sort, we will be invited to be the ones to inspect and verify that whatever commitments are taken there are for real and not just a piece of paper.
Rafael Grossi, that's all we have time for. I want to thank you very much for appearing on the France 24 interview from the headquarters of the IAEA in Vienna. And thank you all for watching it.